As an online business owner, it's so important to not just be aware of racism and not perpetuating it, but also microaggressions, because they happen all the time, where Black, Indigenous, and people of color are not treated equitably inside of group programs, memberships, online and in-person events. And it's easy to miss them if you're not aware of them.
We are
Welcome to Represented, the podcast. I'm Aniki Shuru, racial equity coach for online business owners who want to be intentionally inclusive by building a business that is racially equitable. I created this podcast to normalize a conversation around racial inclusion so that fear is no longer the barrier that gets in the way of doing this work. This isn't about perfection, it's about progress. Whether you're taking your first steps or you're well-versed in the journey towards racial equity, this space is for you. So welcome home, friend. Let's get started. Hey there. Welcome to another episode of Represented Podcast with me, Annie Gishuru. Now, today, the topic is around reverse racism. This conversation has been fueled by the current news stories surrounding Matilda's captain, Sam Kerr, who has been charged with racial harassment of a police officer. Now, in order to understand where the ideology of reverse racism stems from, we've got to first understand what race is and how it came to be. So race is actually a social construct, meaning it is not biological or scientifically factual. It was born out of the need to classify human beings by color in order to assign hierarchy. A Swedish botanist by the name of Carl Linnaeus developed four color groups: red, referring to Indigenous Americans; white, referring to Europeans; yellow, referring to Asians; and black, referring to Africans. The race hierarchy was further developed by several others, including German scientist Johann Friedrich Blumenberg, who then placed white Europeans at the top and Black Africans at the bottom. Nova Reed, who's the author of the book The Good Ally, and I'll pop a link in the show notes because this is a book that is absolutely a must read. She writes that this ideology and falsified idea of racial hierarchy justified the inhumane violence under white supremacy and the human trafficking and enslavement of Black Africans. So now that we know what race is and how it came about, let's now unpack racism. Racism, if we can take the definition from the Australian Human Rights Commission, it is the process by which systems and policies, actions and attitudes create inequitable opportunities and outcomes for people based on race. I like the fact that they've used the word inequitable rather than inequality, because inequality and inequity are two different things. A lot of times people get them mixed up, but the word used here is inequitable. Racism is more than just prejudice in thought or action. It actually occurs when this prejudice, whether it's individual or institutional, is accompanied by power to discriminate against, oppress, or limit the rights of others. So this definition makes the argument of reverse racism not a possibility, because it was created to discriminate, to oppress, and to exclude those who fall below the white race. For reverse racism to happen, three things need to be at play here. And I like to call them the three P's. One, you need power. Two, you need to be prejudiced. And three, you need to have privilege. Now, whilst people of color, Black people might have some form of privilege, they can be, and we can all be prejudiced. Power is the key thing here. You've got to have power over institutions and policies. And a lot of times, those were in effect created to maintain the hierarchy of whiteness. And so this argument of reverse racism becomes redundant. I want to change tack here and talk about another kind of racism that is subtle and can often be missed. And these are microaggressions, which are considered as covert everyday discriminations that happen both deliberately and not deliberately, consciously and subconsciously. As an online business owner, it's so important to not just be aware of racism and not perpetuating it, but also microaggressions because they happen all the time where Black, Indigenous, and people of color are not treated equitably inside of group programs, memberships, online and in-person events. And it's easy to miss them if you're not aware of them.
Hi, my name is Lauren Johnston, and I'm the owner of Intuitive Heart Training Academy, where I offer many different certification trainings in wonderful personal development and growth modalities, such as neurolinguistic programming, NLP, hypnosis, matrix therapies, and the principles of consciousness through archetypes. And I'm also a therapist. Now, when I was writing and publishing my book in 2023, I really started to realize that I have white privilege. And I haven't really thought about that before, hence white privilege, not having to think about it. And also realizing at the age of 36 what equity actually means. And through this kind of same time of learning what it truly means to be equitable and learning about my white privilege, I was really starting to realize that wanting to not be racist is actually different to being anti-racist. And just because I wanted to have a safe space where I feel like I could treat everyone the same and have respect for all people, no matter where they come from, their color of their skin, their sexuality, or anything like that, wanting to be respectful and have people feel accepted and belonging, it was not until really learning what equity meant where I realized, wow, I might not be creating a safe space in my business like I think I am. And as I was starting to realize that my own fear of being caught out of like this thing of, wow, if I were to actually do some kind of work around racism, would I be in fact confronted that there could be unconscious racism in me? And that was really scary and uncomfortable for me. So that was part of a resistance, I think, of looking into what it truly meant to be anti-racist. Now, it was coming across Annie Gachiru on social media and starting to see her popping up on Instagram, not many posts later, but starting to realize and learn that to not be racist is different to anti-racism, and that equity, you're right, is different to wanting just to treat everyone the same. And so I knew immediately I needed to learn from Annie Gachiru. So when I jumped into Represented because I just knew I had to do this work, no matter how uncomfortable it was for me, it got to a place again where I published my book and I realized about my white privilege that I needed to do this work in order to be the person of the values that I stand for and who I want to be and the world that I want to see for my children. So when I first joined Represented, I was quite scared. I was actually shaking about, whoa, I don't even have the language right now on how to treat other people. So what if I am seen for my unconscious bias, and what if I'm racist? But I take a breath, because it wasn't long into the represented sessions and the work with Annie where I knew I was in a beautiful space of you know, not being judged and not having to be scared, but rather to be called in, not called out. And that was something that I learned very quickly. So huge takeaway is that I'm not scared anymore, and I can actually do the work. I continue to educate myself, and I can make sure that I have an equitable business, and in my life I can be a person of equity and an ally to anti-racism. So I would absolutely 100%, 1,000 times over, recommend Annie Gachuru and her work and the represented program to anybody who wants to see this world be anti-racist, to create a safe and respectful place where we can truly acknowledge what people have gone through, and that equity means to give focus and to maybe give more resources and certain different things people need, because they have been disadvantaged and they are marginalized. They are not a minority, but they are marginalized, meaning there needs to be more work, more education in this space. And people in marginalized groups need to be treated differently. And hence, we need to really look into each different aspect of our business to make sure that we are truly equitable, inclusive, and create a space of diversity and respect. So thank you so much, Annie. I am looking forward to continue learning with you, and I'm truly a different person because of the work I've done with you. I'm no longer scared. I'm facing this work head on and being more of an ally as I learn more and more. Thank you so much.
And that is why I'm hosting a live training called Microaggressions 101, where I'll be teaching about how to hold safer spaces in your online coaching business that will see you serve a wider and more racially diverse audience. I'll be focusing on four key areas. Number one, unpacking the anatomy of microaggressions so that you can understand the various forms of subtle nuances of microaggressions prevalent in online coaching spaces. Number two, understanding the impact on client relationships. Learn how microaggressions affect client trust, engagement, and overall coaching dynamics. Number three, creating inclusive coaching environments. We'll explore actionable strategies to foster inclusivity and diversity in your coaching practice. And lastly, addressing microaggressions. You'll gain practical tools and communication techniques to navigate and address microaggressions effectively. The result? You'll walk away with a heightened understanding of how harmful microaggressions are, how you can avoid microaggressions in your business, reducing the prospect of being called out. And lastly, but most importantly, the art of holding safer space, which will lead to greater trust, deeper connection, and higher client retention that leads to referrals on repeat. Head over to annigishuru.com/LT for live training to get all the details and sign up. That's Annigishuru, GICHURU.com/LT. We are represented. We are represented. We are represented. Thank you so much for tuning in. Why don't you go ahead and hit that subscribe button and leave a review so this podcast can reach more online business owners, and together we can begin to normalize racial inclusion in the online coaching space. I'd love to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land where this podcast episode was recorded, the Wiradjuri people in central New South Wales, Australia. Music produced in Nairobi, Kenya by Patrick St. P. Mbaru and Kambua Mathu. Vocals by Joanne Matata. Represented from coast to coast.